Lamar was the leader. The guys gravitated to Lamar. If you come out of the combine with the biggest thing we felt about Lamar was his leadership and the way people gravitated towards him. The way we play the game, the way we're doing it, we don't need the scat backs. You know, we're coming downhill at you. We want that big, physical, explosive runner, and there's guys in this draft that can do that.
Do you ever catch yourself in a draft meeting and you catch yourself and you're like, if I thought about what Mink looks like with his shirt off, that's what he looks like, DK Metcalf. Have you ever caught yourself
doing
that?
No.
Welcome into the lounge. We're getting ready for the combine. Garrett, your favorite trip every year, I know it is. Going out to Indy, baby.
Oh, yeah. Nothing better than Indianapolis in late February, early March. It's a beautiful place that time of year. A nice maybe 20 degrees. It's lovely. Can't wait.
That had to be more evil.
But here's the thing. Some of us got to do work. Some of us got to produce good content.
Oh, I'm doing work, big
Some
boy.
Some of us can't sit around here and just wait on everybody else to get the work done. Me, Cliff Brown, we're going to be out there grinding away. Grinding away.
Hey, I'm going to be grinding from back here.
Right. You haven't grinded in years. In years.
I'm a Gruden grinder. Your mouth. Anyway, on to the email. As always, you know you can reach us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. We have a good email here from Stephen Pate, longtime listener. Stephen, we apologize. Your email's kind of long. We got a long interview coming here with Joe Ortiz. We're going to cut to the chase and get right to his punchline, which is his joke. He says, I think the perfect pick in the second round would be David Sills V, a wide receiver out of West Virginia. Not only does he provide a Cooper Kupp-like great route runner for Lamar to move the chains, but we can add more Ravens to the family tree since we have Orlando Brown Jr., RG3, potentially, moving forward, Willie Snead IV, and then David Sills V.
I like the idea.
Yeah. He's wondering if there's any sixths in the league.
I don't know if there's any sixths. I do like Sills, though. I watched some West Virginia games this year. Can make a lot of contested catches. Show some big playability there. Really important piece of that offense. So I like the idea.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking a lot about wide receivers here in this podcast, including another guy that's getting a lot of buzz, DK Metcalf out of Ole Miss. So with that, let's jump right into our interview with Ravens Director of College Scouting, Joe Ortiz. One of my best friends, and I think he would say the same thing about me.
There's no doubt.
So I'll start off with a softball for you, Joe. Are we going to draft any players from Colby College this year?
I would say the chances are strongly against.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you got to explain Colby College.
Eric is not going to be happy about that one. That's Eric DaCosta's alma mater.
You know, we may have hire someone from Colby, but, you know.
Not draft any players.
Yeah, I don't know about drafting a player from Colby.
But the Alabama trend could continue. Even though Ozzie's not in the GM seat, that could continue.
Yes, Alabama could continue. They are once again loaded for the draft this year, and it's a lot of fun going in there every year and seeing the players they have each year for, so they got some good prospects again this year.
So before we dive too much into the draft, just Eric obviously has taken over as general manager. This is Eric, you've been with him for how many years? 20 years?
21 years.
So how have you seen him take on this challenge and kind of embrace it? Has he changed at all? What's different with him or in terms of running things, and how is he any different?
Yeah, the most different thing is he's not two doors down anymore. That being said, he is in our hallway a lot. He uses the conference room to come over and watch some film. But, you know, I think this is something that he's grown into the position over the years, and he's been preparing for it. Obviously, he's known for a long time that he was going to take over for Ozzie at some point in the future, and Ozzie has done a great job preparing him. And he's done a great job getting ready for the position. So the transition has been, you know, smooth, definitely. A lot of things Eric was involved with before he became our general manager, and those things he's obviously active in right now. So it's almost not noticeable other than, you know, it's Eric ultimately making the decisions now.
When you know a guy for that long and then he steps into that job, you know, is there ever any moment where you're like, or has there been a moment where you're like, whoa, all right, here we go. You know, this kind of feels a little bit different. Like if Garrett got a big promotion, I would be like, what the hell?
And I guess, right.
You know, like
if
you
I got, let's be honest, you'd be like, why not me?
Right? Well, that, I would definitely feel that way.
If I got the big promotion, my first move would be to fire me.
No, really, obviously, you'd be counseling me, right?
Right.
No, you know, it's, again, it's, you kind of, you knew it was coming. So from the perspective, from my perspective, it's one of those things that you're anticipating and expecting, and we're building towards it. And, you know, big differences. No, there's like, yeah, you know, hey, it's, you know, Eric at the Senior Bowl when he's discussing his vision and how we're going to go forward and how he's going to operate, you know, yeah, it's going to be a little bit different, but mm-hmm. we've all been here for a long time. We all have kind of worked in this system, and this is our system, and the way we do things. So we're going to tweak it here and there and do a couple things differently. But for the most part, the structured flow of how we do things in Baltimore, I don't anticipate changing greatly.
Mm-hmm. Right. So let's get your overall thoughts on this year's draft class. I'm sure you probably prefer talking about that than Eric. just, you know, is it really top-end heavy? A lot of talent in the first couple rounds? Where's kind of the – generally, I feel like there's almost like the continental shelf. You know, you have these so many players, then there's a shelf.
Yeah.
You kind of drop off. Where about is that?
Deep shelf. There's a deep shelf this year. It's a deep draft. It really is. We just finished up 10 days of meetings. I'm working from 7 to 7 basically every day and went over a lot of players, more players than we've ever covered in the past.
Wow.
So, and we don't talk about guys that aren't draft worthy or have a chance to make a roster. So that's a good thing. It's telling us there's depth in this draft. And then when you look at the board, there are – that middle of the board looks bigger than normal. It's deeper. So. There is eventually will be a drop off, but hopefully we can get quality players because everyone's picking off of a different board, especially in those middle rounds. You know, the top of the draft, it looks like your board goes off just like everyone else's, I think, you know, nowadays. But in the middle of the draft, that's where you can get the guys that you covet and other people may not covet as strongly. So I think we'll get some really good players with our day three picks.
And at number 22, just my initial feels from looking at the mock drafts and whatnot and just the chatter is like, that there's not a consensus, all right, these are the 10 guys, you know, and then after that, there's, like, just this big drop-off. Like, it feels like, I mean, through the mid-20s, like, there's a lot of really good, highly regarded players.
Right, and I think if you look at the mocks, and as they've come out from the end of the season, the January mocks, the February mocks, the pre-combine mocks, the post-combine mocks, they're so different. Like, you'll see a guy at 10, and next thing you know, you'll see him at 25, you know, and it's that type of player.
Totally.
You know, you're going to have probably so many different mocks, but however many there are, 10 different mocks, and you may have one player going 10th and then him going 32nd, you know. So I think those players from 10 to 32 or even in the 40s, a lot of them are similar type level of players. So not a big drop off there. You know, you're going to have your top five or six guys that are going to be the top players that everyone covets or would love to have a shot at, but it's not. It does drop off from there, and then really you're going to get a similar type of player, I think, if you're picking 11 or if you're picking 22.
Interesting.
What about positions? Like, what do you see as the positions of strength and weakness overall this year?
D-line definitely is a strength, especially if you factor in the pass rushers, the outside backers for us, if you know, because to 4-3 teams, they're ends.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strong group. It's top heavy, it's middle heavy, and it's deep. There's depth in those positions. So that's a really strong group this year. You know, wide receivers is pretty good, maybe not the top end talent, but you have a good, really good deep group of guys that you can take in the middle rounds. Same thing with running backs. You don't have the Saquon Barkley in the draft class this year, but you get a lot of good backs that are going to go in probably the second and third rounds.
Mm-hmm. So with offense, I'm curious, obviously there's a quarterback change. Lamar is the centerpiece of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change how you build a team around him in terms of your either evaluation of players or the value that you put on a player? Like in a simple example, it's like this receiver, we're moving him up our board this year because he's a good blocker, and that's something that we need these guys to do on our offense.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a willingness to block, definitely. You've heard Greg talk about that.
Right.
You've heard John talk about that. There's guys in our offense are going to have to be able to block and block effectively. Now, ultimately the job of the wide receiver is to catch the ball and make plays with the ball in his hand or make plays on the ball. So that doesn't get lost. We're not going to take a great blocker who can't catch.
You're not taking a fullback for a wide receiver.
Yeah, right. So still the priority of the position is the priority of the position, but one of the traits we'd like in a wide receiver is a willingness to block. And maybe he's not a great blocker, or not quite strong enough now, but a guy who shows the effort and the energy to go out there and compete for his teammates. So that is definitely a trait we...
Yeah, but besides wide receiver, has there been discussion from Eric to you guys that then you send to your scouts and whatnot about, all right, now it's a Lamar Jackson offense, and we're going to have to kind of tweak, you know, things outside of even wide receiver about how we build this and look at different players. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it doesn't change dramatically. Obviously, when you watch our offense, we are coming downhill at you when we run the ball. Right. And so we're not looking for zone scheme type offensive linemen, and we haven't been. We've been more the power gap scheme type of offensive line. We'll run some zones, but I mean, we like John. And the offensive staff, they've wanted an offensive line that gets after it and can run the ball well. And so that's been what we've been looking for, and now it just kind of gets accentuated by our strong running game and the way we attack people coming downhill. Back, same thing. You want backs that are going to hit the hole and get up in there and show some burst and ability to get through out the other end. So we're not looking for the guys that bounce, you know, or looking to take everything outside. So some of that is an instinct of a player. Some of that can be coached out of a player, or maybe the scheme he's operating in now in college that, hey, they run more outside type zone stretch type runs, but we think he can come in and play in our scheme. So
right.
Nobody gets eliminated this early.
Right. Daniel Jeremiah talked about, he had some interesting comments recently about putting a track team around Lamar Jackson, just a ton of speed on this offense, kind of with the idea, I think, of like, you're going to pound him, you know, and you're going to hit him hard, and then everybody's concerned about Lamar and breaking a big play, but so they kind of relax on some of the other guys. They're so concerned mm-hmm. about Lamar that one of these other guys can hit him for a big play at any other time, right?
Yeah.
Is there some accuracy to that where you guys say, we got a dynamic player in Lamar, we just need to get some other big-time playmakers around him that can make teams pay if they focus too much on him?
Sure. I mean, you know, I think Lamar can make Lamar's ability can create opportunities for anyone on mm-hmm. our offense. And so if you have a speed guy, especially at wide receiver, you know, he can take the top off and expose the defense, the safety rolling down, mm-hmm. a corner coming hard, biting hard on the run, and slip by. But we got guys on the team that can do that too right now. So certainly you always want to be bigger and faster than everyone, but you don't always necessarily have to have straight speed guys. You just need more of a playmaker.
So when you look at this draft, I mean, we've answered this question on Mailbag on a number of occasions. Are the Ravens going to go offense heavy? Because I think a lot of the conversation is focused on offensive line and receiver, as we're talking about running back. So we're all talking about offense. Does that mean it's probably going to be four straight defensive players?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's been the trend, right? Yeah. It was four straight defense, four straight offense. Now we go back to defense.
Yeah. There's no way to tell. There really is, because we have needs on both sides of the ball.
Sure.
We really do. And there's talent on the board on both sides of the ball, guys that we'd love to make Ravens. So it's hard to sit here and say, man, you know, we want to build the offense up, and we're going to overlook a great defensive player that can come in and help us be a great football team on defense, on special teams. So, you know, I think if you look at the success of our defense last year, it was very critical for us making the playoffs.
Doesn't hurt to be the best defense in the league.
So the one thing, and we pride ourselves on being a pretty good defense around here. So,
right.
I don't think we ever want to let that slip. So if we can get a guy on defense that can help us, and he's the best player out there, we're going to take him.
But is it really fun to now, you know, you turn the page to the Lamar Jackson era, and really fun as scouts and whatnot to be like, all right, like, this is a new kind of chapter. Like, is it exciting to be building a new offense?
Yeah, it is. You know, like, you know, with Joe, we're looking for the things that fit Joe.
Right.
And there is a challenge. You know, hey, there are guys that you see like, I don't think he fits what we're going to do. So you're trying to identify whether the guy fits into what we do. But there was just an excitement of watching, you know, what we did at the end of the year and looking to build off and make it even greater, make it even, you know, tougher to play against. So that's the fun part. Like, gosh, what if we add this piece to what we're doing, mm-hmm. you know, imagine the impact it could have.
So, right. Yeah. We've asked you like 10 questions about Lamar in some capacity, so we're going to continue on that trend here.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, we're going to stick there for a little bit. Go back to the combine last year. Obviously, the combine is next week.
Yeah.
What did you think last year at the combine when you watched Lamar? And it's interesting to me because last year when Ozzie was asked about him, uh-huh. he said very clearly, we're evaluating him as a quarterback.
Right.
There was all the talk about wide receiver and all that stuff. Like, what did you think when you met with Lamar, if you did, and when you watched him during the combine drills?
I don't think we met with Lamar.
You did not meet with him there?
Really?
Lamar, yeah. Not in the big room, no.
Interesting.
Met with
Playing
him over
a coy,
the,
huh?
Yeah, we met with him over in the train station. I thought what you saw with him was confidence. The biggest thing you saw, and it's funny because you know, we have guys out there on the field, coaches go down and work some of the drills, and scouts that are down there helping out with different stations. And they get feedback. They get their own individual feedback from watching it. Our coaches are there. Coach Urban was down the field, so he was able to be down there while the quarterbacks were throwing. And then our other scouts, Andrew was down there, Andrew Raphael. And the scouts that are running the groups talk about how this guy's the alpha. And, mm-hmm. and Andrew gets a chance to see it. And they all, you know, Lamar was the leader. The guys gravitated to Lamar. So you got, mm-hmm. I think probably if you come out of the combine with the biggest thing we felt about Lamar was his leadership and the way people gravitated towards him, even though there may have been some other highly talented quarterbacks in his group. So I would say would be the biggest takeaway from Indy, you know.
Interesting. Yeah. And what did you think last year when there was all that wide receiver talk? Were you just like, this is insane?
No, because he's a great athlete, right? You know, so I understand people, Lamar's not, his fit isn't for every offense. And mm-hmm. so if you're evaluating a player and your offense doesn't call for the run game, the athletic style of play.
Right.
You know, how would we best use this guy? Well, he'd be a great dual threat, a great weapon, you know, put him at wide out. Yeah,
right,
you know,
right.
So I understand that, but we felt strongly that he could play quarterback for us. And if we took him, we'd adjust, obviously, the way we do things offensively to best fit him. And that's what our coaches tried to do last year, and that's what we're building off of for, going forward.
Interesting. Cool.
All right, so enough Lamar questions for the time being. We might circle back to that at some point, but let's dive into some different position groups just to see what you think. And the natural spot where we always talk about it is wide receiver. So what is your take on this year's receiver class?
Again, it's a pretty deep group. You know, top-tier receivers, I think everyone's going to probably have different guys at the top.
Yeah,
I
don't think there's not a
there's
consensus.
Not an A.J. Green. There's not a Julio Jones, a guy who everyone's like, this is the, mm-hmm. the top guy. Mm-hmm. But there's guys – I'd say in the first, second, third rounds that have going to have a chance to come in and be stars in the NFL.
Right.
It's a position that takes time a lot of times, you know. There's a lot of different things they do in college versus pro at that position. So obviously you got to get a guy that can adjust and develop on the fly and hopefully help us.
All right, can I run my theory of what we need at wide receiver by you?
Sure. Why not?
The kind of wide receiver.
Let me take notes.
Yeah, I was going to say, one thing I noticed is that Joe has no notes. You're going to have to lock it in your memory. Yeah. All right, so my feeling is an offense that's probably not going to throw the ball as many times as other offenses compared to other offenses. You can't be dropping the ball. That's first and foremost, right? Whatever passing attempt we have, got to catch them.
We'd like that, yeah.
As many as we can. Yeah,
but even when we throw the ball 50 times a game, we'd like
exactly,
for them to be
I
caught. Like, I think that's something we'd like. You know?
Right, but with like Drew Brees, like you're throwing it like you know 50 times a game, you can drop a couple. You're going to hit it on the next play.
Right.
You know
now, Drew only threw it like 21 times against
that's
us.
That's true. You're right. So. Anyway, so got to have a guy who catches the ball consistently.
Preferably, yes.
I think a good catch like can make difficult catches
body
is
control,
important.
Yes.
That's because I think that like – let's just, Lamar is not Drew Brees to another thing. Like, it's not going to be seen in numbers all the time. He has all the arm talent in the world. He can make every throw. But he's not the most accurate guy right now.
Right.
Right?
Not yet.
So guy's got to be able to pluck it low, high, whatever. Yeah. Okay? And that could be a small guy. That could be a big guy with a big wingspan, whatever. Just got to make tough catches. And they got to make big plays. Because you got to be, like we were talking about before, whether it's speed or size, going up, being able to box somebody out. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to make big plays because we got to hit them. Like, Lamar's not going to be a guy, probably, that just, like, we're going to have a lot of. You don't want to put him in third and four and he has to complete passes for first downs five times on a drive, right? Like, not a dink and dunk offense with Lamar, probably. Probably a ground and pound and hit him with big shots in the passing game kind of offense, ideally. Now, do you agree with all that?
Well, I think it's unknown, number one. All right, because you got to remember, our Lamar became our starting quarterback, what, week? We had 6 weeks, 7 weeks left in the season.
Yes.
Okay, so our offense adjusted on the fly. Now, they had built those things in during camp. They put a foundation in. Mm-hmm. But I think you're going to see a dramatic difference in our offense next year. Hmm. After a year where they've had a full offseason to really develop and fine-tune things and come up with new ideas and be creative and get Lamar doing the things he does best and spread and widen his scope of things.
Right.
But I think the situation we were in last year, our coaches did a phenomenal job. I mean, you're talking about changing the offense on the fly.
Right.
Pretty without crazy. A bye week, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we had a bye
week. Well, we had the bye week after the bye week.
Yeah.
That's right. What happened, right. Basically.
But where's everyone going on the bye week?
Right.
The players
right.
are here for 2 days and then they're gone, right? So you really, so they're up in the room cooking it all up, but, you know, then we got to serve the meal in a week of practice and get ready. So they did a heck of a job. And, and I just think next year you're going to see more things and more wrinkles added. So we might be throwing it more on third and four, you know. And, you know, now the great thing about the way our offense executed last year, on third and four, we were getting the first down, pounding Gus and pounding Dixon.
We had a lot of long drives in the
And then if you didn't get it, you're still probably going for it on fourth down, picking it up on fourth and one.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, I think there'll be some wrinkles and changes in our offense. And I firmly believe that the confidence we have in Lamar and the confidence he has in himself going forward as a passer will continue to grow and grow and grow.
So right. Just to recap, your ideal receiver, good hands, big playability, great catch radius.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Get us some of those guys.
Yeah.
That's all? That's all you want? Yeah, that's the crux of it. One receiver that has been mocked to the Ravens at times and I think is somebody that people... Yeah, a lot. And is one of the guys that people are talking about is DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
There's been pictures of him online with just looking huge.
Right.
Basically.
What was your reaction when you saw that picture of him yoked up?
Who's the defensive end?
I know.
I mean, he was yoked up. Now, the other thing is this. He literally just got... Now, you guys know me, and people can't see me right now, but if they could, they could tell that I'm not a big workout warrior. Okay?
He kind of looks right. like me. Like, do you ever catch yourself in a draft meeting, and you catch yourself,
and you're like...
if I thought about what Mink looks like without his shirt off... With his shirt off, that's what he looks like, DK Metcalf. Have you ever caught yourself
happened? No. But, like, so with him, he just got done lifting, so he's swollen a little bit from the lift.
Right.
He's a big dude. Now, I've seen him at the school.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. He's big, and he's strapped together. I mean, if you say to yourself, what does the prototypical big, strong, wide receiver look like, it'd be DK Metcalf. So we'll see what he looks like in Indy when he's – you know, not just gotten done lifting and see.
But for a combine, I would think that is really important for a guy like that, because I think a question around him is like, honestly, is he too big?
Right.
And so how does he look at a combine?
How does he look moving around?
Right.
Yeah. You can be too big at any position. You can be too muscular, I think, at any position if it prohibits your flexibility and shows it creates a little stiffness in your movement. So yeah, you got to keep the flexibility in your body. So if he goes out and looks flexible still, and you know, which I expect him to be, because he is a really athletic kid. So I think he'll be fine, but we'll see. You know, that's what we do. You know, combine, pro day. So we'll see if he's gotten too big and it's prohibiting his ability to play the position.
What are your thoughts on his game? Just watching tape.
There's a little rawness to him. His production is not as great as you'd like in terms of a receiver in college coming into the pros. He doesn't have a lot of production over the years.
Right.
He has some, but the things that jump out at you are his ability to go get the ball vertical. All right, you talked about a guy making big plays, playmaking. He can go get the ball vertical. He's got strong hands. He does drop some balls, Mink, so you might be a little upset with that, all right, because he's got some drops where you're like, oh, why did he drop that ball?
Right.
That being said, he can use his frame. He can make the contested catch and out-muscle a corner who's trying to come over top of him for the ball. And he's strong and physical after the catch. So
and he's supposed to run like a 4.3.
Yeah, that's what they say. I don't know if he'll run that fast, but he's going to run pretty fast, I would suspect.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move into running back.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a position that you've addressed kind of in these middle rounds here.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a lot of interest in potentially adding one of these playmaking, game breaking. Greg Roman talked about, look, a Jamal Lewis guy would be great.
Obviously, yeah, it would be great. Yeah.
Now you're not paying for number five. You don't have a fifth pick this year.
I don't think Jamal's in this draft.
I don't know if there's a Jamal
this
great.
Yeah. you know, I think with that position, you want guys with that are big, physical, great contact balance, vision, you know, just the way we play the game, the way we're doing it. We don't need the scat backs. You know, we're coming downhill at you. We want that big, physical, explosive runner. And there's guys in this draft that can do that. And, you know, the great thing about the running back position, and I think we've kind of shown that this year, you know, we had two backs that I think averaged over 5 yards a carry, or at least it felt like that way for a long time this year. But Gus and Kenneth did a great job. And they're both, we got one in the fourth round, one in post-draft free agency.
Right.
So I love those two, and I think they did a great, they were extremely important to our offense last year, and I think they'll have a great role going forward. And if we have the opportunity to add someone to those two, it would be great.
One of the guys who it could be is Josh Jacobs. That's who Mel Kiper has mocked to us at 22.
Yeah. Out of Alabama.
Right? Yeah, Alabama. Right, why not? Right,
right, not out of Colby College. Yeah. But just what do you think of him?
Talented player. You know, he's playing in an offense similar in terms of a lot of the gun runs, a lot of the pistol runs. He does a little bit more outside type running, but he's got tremendous balance, strength. He runs very hard. He's a great kid, and he's also versatile in the sense of he's a weapon. They use him as a weapon in the passing game, both out of the backfield, and every once in a while they'll line him up in the slot and throw him, you know, have him run little jerk routes, option routes underneath, or run the seam and try to beat a linebacker or safety up the seam, and they'll throw him the ball vertically. And they did it more probably on last year's tape, 17, than they did this year in terms of running along the vertical routes up the middle. But he can do that. He can catch and adjust to the ball. So, and he also returns kickoff, so he has some kickoff return production. So very versatile player who's just wired right and great kid.
I know Eric, after last year's draft, said one of his regrets was that he didn't get a running back. It just didn't fall that way.
Right.
And I think the year before, Ozzie was made it clear that he was interested in Leonard Fournette coming out of who eventually went to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Would you be surprised if we don't come out of this year's draft with a running back? Like, is that an area where you guys are like, all right, we'd like to get a running back?
I think there's some positions you go into every draft like, hey, it'd be nice to add in this, you know. I think you'd ultimately like to add offensive linemen every draft because you just want to keep that thing rolling, right?
Kind of D-line, we do the same.
Right, D-line, it's good to add depth, and because we do. I mean, we do a great job of developing those two positions, and guys move on. I mean, look at our offensive line. We've 3 years in a row, we've had, I think, the highest paid guy at his position, right?
Yeah, Ricky Wagner,
Ricky,
and KO.
All those guys, one was the second, one was the fifth, one was the sixth, that's the order.
Yep, yep.
And so, you know, and actually the year before, I think we lost Mike, right? You know, so these guys, it's nice to have that stacking the next guy up at the offensive line. Defensive line, same thing, you know, and then running back, you definitely, it's a position where they do get beat up a little bit, and it'd be nice to add one more guy to the stable. Two guys that carried the bulk of the load for us at the end of the year did great. And then we also got some guys last year. It's funny, we didn't draft one, but we got three really good post-draft free agents that all actually were either on our practice squad, and two of them played for us in games this year. And DeLance was one that we had some good feel for. He obviously got hurt and got put on IR in the middle of the year. But, you know, so we're excited about the young backs we have. And if we had a chance to add another one, it'd be great.
So you mentioned offensive line, and there's been a lot of talk about that. You know, Greg talked about it the other day, that it kind of all starts there. Do you feel like upgrading the interior offensive line particularly, because tackle seems like we're in pretty good shape right now, at least in terms of our starters.
Right.
And some depth, with last year, who I think looks pretty good. But anyway, do you feel like upgrading the interior offensive line is a priority this year?
I think you definitely, adding guys in there to one challenge. You know, we'll see Bozeman, he's coming back.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got his second year. He'll have his second year under him. Illuminor, swing guy, guard. He's probably, you know, more entrenched at tackle right now, but he has the versatility to go in. He played inside for us the past 2 years in times of need. So having that flexibility with him, and he held up pretty well when he was a tackle. So, I think his future may be in tackle, but to have that flexibility for him to jump inside a guard, obviously Hurst's versatility to play all four spots is huge. Skur is going to come back another year, more experienced, second-year starter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it'd be nice to get add bodies in there, but, you know, to say they're going to come in and beat out the guys that have worked hard and gotten a year better and a year more developed, that I wouldn't say that that's a lock that we could do, but definitely you want guys for the future, you know, right. To me. You definitely want to keep stacking that thing. We can't let that position get weak.
Right, and you have guys that, you know, Yanda, who knows how much soccer he plays like that. It's always part of the equation.
And, you know, and Alex, when he plays, he's out there playing for us. He's done a really good job, but he's had some trouble staying healthy, you know, so hopefully we can get him going and get back to where he was and add bodies and add depth to those positions.
One guy that's been mentioned in connection with the Ravens is Cody Ford out of Oklahoma. Yeah. I don't know if that's Orlando Brown starting those rumors or what, but would it be kind of cool to potentially pair up somebody, you know, another guy from the Oklahoma?
Yeah, you know, Oklahoma, they have four guys in the draft this year.
Yeah, they're Ben Powers.
Powers is
center.
Ben's the right guard.
Right guard.
Drew Samia is the left guard, and Bobby Evans is the left tackle there. So, okay. And then you got Cody as the right tackle. And that's a fun group to watch now. I mean, you look at, first of all, across the board, you're looking at pro bodies, number one. And then just the mentality they all play with, their physical. You know, you see Orlando's influence in the guys he left behind. It's just kind of cool, you know. And he's friends with a lot of those guys. So, yeah, it'd be cool. It'd be great to add one of his former teammates. You know, he's close with Mark, and he was you know, they were fired up to be taken together.
Right.
So,
Did pretty well.
Yeah, they worked out pretty well. But I think that's a cool thing for any player. That when they get to the pros, to be able to get one of their former teammates, guys that they played with, not necessarily, you know, 4 years down the road. Yeah, I remember that kid who was a freshman, but a guy who's fresh off of his, you know, the year after and add him to the mix, because they know they're a great resource for us, too, really. You ask Orlando about, hey, tell me about the Oklahoma guys. Mm-hmm. He knows what it means to be a Raven now. Now, he knew before he was a Raven, but the rest of the guys, the rookies, they understand now what it takes to be a Raven, the mindset, the mentality, the way we work around here, the way coach has got things set up, and what he demands of you. So we can say to him, hey, can this guy survive here? Does this guy fit in here? Does this guy have what it takes to be one of us? And they'll be honest, because while they may be a Sooner, or they may be a Tiger, or they may be a Alabama Tider, you know, they know the Ravens now, so they're pretty honest, you know, in terms of, I don't know, you know, if they don't see it, you know.
Quick question about Orlando. Obviously, last year he had, I mean, let's be honest, one of the worst combine performances that a guy could have.
Yeah.
And at the time, he was one of the guys that people were talking about as a first-round option for us. So when you go through, take me back to this time last year, you finish the combine, you see Orlando Brown have a really poor combine showing.
Right.
Are you at all thinking, you know what, we might get this guy all of a sudden in the third round because we know he can play? Like, is that where your mind goes? You're disappointed for the guy and all that, but you're thinking, you know what, we may have a chance to get somebody.
Bargain.
We just
Well, I don't know if it necessarily happens in that exact moment. And in fairness to Orlando, I love him to death, all right? I never expected him to have a – I don't think anyone at the combine expected Orlando to blow up the combine.
Right.
Now, maybe the bench – numbers, they may have thought he'd be stronger, and but I don't think anyone there was expecting Orlando Brown to run a 5-140.
Right. Right?
I just don't think anyone was. I think that's not his game. His game is being big, long, physical, tough, staying on his feet, and trying to beat the ever-living out of you, you know? And that's what he did at Oklahoma, and that's what he's done here. You know, obviously, he's a great kid. He's intelligent. He understands the game of football. And I think – yes, the people that were high on him may have let that justify bringing him down. But I feel like we as a group kind of had a good feel for where he was before the combine.
Gotcha.
And I don't think it really shifted much, you know, with Orlando in our room. Like, you know, would he have been a first-round pick if he ran a 5-1-40 and benched 32 and vertical 30 inches? Yeah, he probably would have. But I'd be surprised for someone to say, man, I'm shocked that he ran that slow, or he, you know, because I think the bench would probably be the biggest surprising number, you know. But the thing about him, the thing I loved about him, is I went to his pro day 2 weeks later. Myself and Kevin Waddle were there, our Southwest scout, and he improved on every single number that he did, and he did everything. Like, a lot of guys would be like, you know what, I'm not doing it. You know, I just. He ran again, he benched again, he jumped again, he did everything again. And that was cool in and of itself, the way he competed, and he obviously worked for 2 weeks to get better. But then when you saw the teammates rally around him, the senior teammates that were there, and then all those juniors mm-hmm. that we're going to be talking about this year, they all were there. When he benched, I mean, you couldn't get in. It looked like Tom Brady at the Super Bowl. I mean, I was like Chad Steele. You know, actually, right. I look more like, what's her name? The reporter.
He was doing that.
Chad was protecting. So, I mean, I'm not that
Tracy
big.
Wilson.
Tracy Wilson. Yeah. I looked more like Tracy Wilson trying to wiggle my way in. I was looking for a Chad Steele to break everyone up so I could see. But, I mean, it was packed. It was packed. And so that was cool to see. Like, everybody was just cheering them on and fired up for them. So
that's neat. Yeah. See, you also talked about the edge rushers and how this year is a really good class. I mean, there's just to name some people for those listening. Ja'Kai Polite out of Florida, Montez Sweat out of Mississippi State, Brian Burns out of Florida State, Clelin Farrell out of Clemson, Jalen Ferguson, La Tech.
That's our way to show that we do some research.
Well, there's also a Bosa in this year's draft.
Right.
And, you know, some of these top-end guys, I'm not even mentioning the real top-end guys. So just, you know, what's your take on this edge class? And do you feel like this is a year where, you know, Terrell Suggs is a free agent. We don't know as of now whether he's going to be back. Right. Is this a year where you say, hey, if we're going to look for that Terrell Suggs replacement, I'm putting air quotes out there because you're not going to draft a Hall of Famer necessarily, that this would be the year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, that's kind of like offensive line. That's one of the positions you always want to just keep stacking guys at, you know, and because you're going to have guys move on. You know, Z's a free agent this year.
Right.
We had it happen with Purnell a few years back. So, you know, we're trying to – we've tried to get guys in, and, you know, the book ain't been written yet on the ones we've drafted the past couple of years. So I'm hoping that right now that they're seeing the opportunity in front of them and they're gonna bust their butt to get in here and take advantage of it if we do end up losing some of those guys. But I mean, you know, we took Judon in the sixth round, you know, and he's developed into a really good player for us. And you know, we took Z in the fourth round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's turned into some of the guys take a little bit of time. Kruger, we took in the second.
Right.
You know,
he took a little time.
We really didn't reap the benefits until that Super Bowl year. He had a decent third year.
Yeah.
But that fourth year is when it really clicked for him. And some guys at that position take a little bit of time. But, yeah, you definitely want to keep adding guys. And if we can do it early or in the middle rounds, you know, if the opportunity presents itself, we'll do it.
So I guess that's going to be your answer about Tyus Bowser and Tim Williams, that it could click for them in year three.
Yeah, you hope so. Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and they both have shown flashes of it. I mean, what Tim have? Two and a half sacks in three games?
In the preseason, you're saying?
No, in the regular season.
I had to pull up the stats on that. But yeah, he had some.
He was giving us some heat early on.
Right.
Preseason, he looked good.
Yeah.
And then Tyus, you know, he's a little bit more of he's not quite the same type of linebacker. He's more of an athletic guy, versatile. You can do a lot of different things with him. But he's showing some rushability. And you probably go back to his rookie year. He had that critical sack against Pittsburgh where he just flat out won the rep. And he beat their right tackle, dipped around the edge, got the bend like that in a critical moment. So it's there. And, you know, he just, you know, we push these guys, but, you know, and we need them to, you know, meet us there. And I think they will. I think just some guys take time, you know.
Right.
Awesome. Well, hey, cool. Joe, I appreciate the time.
Absolutely.
Combine next week. We'll bug you again while we're out in Indy. Yeah. But as always, good to catch up.
All right. Well, thank you to Joe. Always one of my favorite guys to interview on
the lounge. Joe's the best, yeah.
Friend of the lounge.
He is a great friend of the lounge.
So really good stuff from him. And the combine is going to be really interesting this year. I mean, DK Metcalf's going to be an interesting guy to watch. There's going to be a lot of buzz around Kyler Murray and a lot of probably talk about Lamar Jackson and Kyler comparisons. So it's going to be fun. Garrett is going to be there, as we said at the top.
Bringing you
tons of good coverage. I'll be back here. Do what I do best.
Watching all of our good coverage.
Eating bonbons. Yeah, have a beer. Anyway, thank you for listening. And we will be back with you hopefully next week. You're going to be an Indy.
I know. It's going to be tough.
We might have to get the post-combine report the week after. But make sure you keep it locked for everything combine related.